our house, and that, you know, he tells us, well, he's talking about giving and being a giver at church, but over in the Old Testament, he says, try me and see if I won't open up the windows of heaven and pour you out something more than what you even know. Amen? Isn't that good that he's able to do that? Well, I want you to take your Bibles tonight with me. Let's look for a little while, if you will, in the Word of God. I want you to look with me in the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. And let's talk about some things going on in the life of Paul. Obviously, he's writing to the young preacher, Timothy, and trying to encourage him and give him some direction and some help in his young ministry and young days of ministry. So 2 Timothy chapter number 3, if you will, look with me in verse number 10. Verse number 10 is where we'll kind of pick it up. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Chapter 4, verse 1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Let's have a word of prayer, if you would. Father, thank you, Lord, again for the evening, and thank you for blessing us. And I pray now, Lord, just be a blessing in this time. And pray you just open our hearts, open our ears. Let us hear from you. Let us know the things that you are giving us and the direction of our hearts and the need of our souls this evening. Lord, and there's others that are lost that we want to pray for. And I pray, God, you just give us a blessing from these words to be able to carry that precious gospel and tell somebody else about what Jesus has done for us. We'll thank you, we'll praise you, and we'll love you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. I want you to notice some things here that as Paul is talking to this young preacher, and he's trying to help him, obviously. He's trying to give him the best instruction that he can and, you know, give him some solid footing, some grounded area to stand on and to build that ministry on. Because he says, if you and didn't take time to read it, but back in the very first part of this chapter, he said in verse number 1 of chapter 3, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. I want to tell you, if Paul is talking about perilous times even in his day, we surely got them now, hadn't we? I mean, we're there, right? Perilous times shall come. And then he goes on to say all of the things that people will be like. You know, he says, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. Amen, we're there. Covetous, boasters, proud. He said, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. I mean, he's trying to establish some things for this young preacher to have in his life so that he can be able to make a stand in the day that they lived. And as I said, Paul says, look, there's these last days, perilous times are coming. And they probably thought they lived in some pretty ugly times. And, you know, I heard some preacher say this a few days ago, I guess, that he was talking about how that everybody in their own day thought they lived in some pretty perilous times. They lived in some pretty ugly times. And we, I guess, probably all have. It just seems like to us that our days have gotten worse and worse and worse. And, you know, somebody's looking for them to get better. Let me tell you, honey, the Democrats nor the Republicans can help us in the situation we're in. It's going to take the Lord himself. Amen? I mean, that's what it's going to take. But as Paul is instructing Timothy here, he's given him some things, and he's talking about more than anything about Timothy being dependent upon the Word of God, about him being dependent upon the Word of God. When you begin to read this and you see what he says, you know, he begins to talk about how that there have been people in times past, and he mentions some of them about, you know, in chapter 3, verse number 6 there, about for of this sort, these kind of people that he's just mentioned that got all of these characteristics, these kind, he said, these of this sort are they which creep into houses, lead captive silly women laden with lust, led away with divers lust, ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And he's saying, there's people like that. There's going to be people. And he said, I'm telling you, Timothy, there's going to be people like that. There will even be people like that in your churches if you're not careful. And you need to hear that, he says. So he says, but, you know, this is going to happen. And he said, just like Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. There's some men that are going to resist the truth. He said, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. He said, but they shall proceed no further. For their folly shall be manifest unto all men as theirs also was. There, hey, God's still got some folks that's got some sense about some things according to the Word of God. That's what he's saying. He said, but I want you to know that you have known me. Where we picked up reading there in verse number 10. Paul said, now, I've told you that there's these guys, the bad guys, and some people that are doing these wicked things. He said, they've come. He said, but you know me. Thou hast fully known my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, my long-suffering, my charity, my patience. And he said, you've also known my persecutions, my afflictions. And then he mentions where all of those places were, where he suffered those things. And then he says, but I want you to know, out of them all, the Lord delivered me. God delivered me out of all of that. He said, I just want you to know, everybody that wants to live godly in Christ Jesus, they're going to suffer some persecutions. You're going to suffer some things. You know, I think we've got the idea that, boy, nothing ought to happen to us because I'm a Christian. Well, honey, let me tell you, it's going to happen, okay? I mean, Christian folks, guess what? They get cancer. Christian folks get sick. Christian folks have hard time. Christian folks have financial difficulty. Christian folks have all kinds. And I want to tell you something. I'm a preacher, and I'm not immune to any of those things. They can happen to me. They can happen to you. They can happen to any of us. Amen? And I mean, as faithful as you want to be and as faithful as you are, things can still happen in our lives. And they will. They will happen. Now, He begins to tell him how you're going to make it, Timothy. He says, look, you know me and you know all this. He said, but you're going to suffer some persecutions. And because evil men and the seducers that are out there are going to wax worse and worse. They're deceiving others and being deceived themselves in their thinking and in the way they do. But look what he says, and just kind of think about this in verse 14 and following there. He said, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast seen, been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. He said, I want you to know there is something out of all of this that's going to help you. You have some help. And it's the same help that every one of us as a child of God has for ourselves. First of all, I want you to understand this. He, as I say, he relates him to the Scriptures. Do you see that in verse number 15? And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. I want you to understand, hey, he begins to talk about, Timothy, you've got the Word of God to depend on. Can I tell you, that's still what you and I have tonight to depend on. I'm glad to tell you, Jesus said heaven and earth is going to pass away, but my word shall not pass away. The Word of God's going to stand forever. The Word of God's going to be here. Everything else can go to pieces and fall apart, but we've still got God's Word. Amen. I want you to notice in this young man's life, and it's the same for me and you. First of all, I want you to notice the impact of the Word of God. The impact. He said, look, I want you to continue in the stuff that you've learned. Those things that you've learned and that you've been assured of. He said, there are some things that you've learned, and you've learned it from the Word of God, and it will help you. I'm telling you, it's the same thing for me and you. Same thing tonight for me and you. We've got some things that we have learned from the Word of God, and they will help us. How will they help us, preacher? Well, listen, he says, that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. He tells him, he said, first of all, I want you to understand, from your childhood, you have heard, you've been exposed to, you've been in contact with the Word of God. I want you to notice what I'm going to call this, the impact of the Scriptures. The Scriptures will have an impact upon your life. And that's what they're intended for. The Word of God's supposed to have an impact on our life. You remember what Paul talks about, Timothy, and some of the other Scriptures where he's writing to him. He's talking about how that he said, I believe you've got the same kind of faith that was in your grandmother, Lois, and your mother, Eunice. And he said, and I'm persuaded that's in thee also. He said, I want you to know that Word of God will impact your family. Can I tell you, the Word of God tonight still will impact your family. Whether you're a preacher, whether you're a lay person, whether you're a man, whether you're a woman, I'm telling you, the Word of God will impact your family. I mean, here's a young man, and the Word of God was around with his grandma, and the Word of God was around with his mama, and the Word of God came to him, and all of that had an impact upon his life. He said, from a child, you've been exposed to the Word. The Word of God's had an impact on you from the time you was a kid. You know, sometimes we come to church, and I know I've seen frustrated mamas and daddies, and they say, well, you know, my kids, I'm sorry, preacher, they're wiggling around, and they're moving, and they're doing all that. I said, don't worry, can I tell you this? They're getting something. Amen. They're getting some. You don't think so many times, but they're like a little sponge. And what we say, if we keep on telling them about Jesus, if we keep on telling them about being saved, we keep on telling them about the goodness of God, if we tell them about having faith in God, if you'll keep it up, it's soaking in. You don't understand it now, but brother, it'll be there one day. You just keep them. I'm telling you, it's making an impact on them. And it's the impact of the Word of God on the family. That's why I'm telling you, hey, if we could get men to get themselves in here, bring their families, it'd make a difference in our world. If we could get men to go to church, bring their families, and you know, people say, yeah, preacher, I just don't know. What's wrong with the world today? What's going on? I tell you, thank God you need to be in the house of God. Amen. The Word of God, and it's not, I don't care who it comes from. It's not me or you know, anybody else of any preacherdom. Hey, it's somebody just proclaiming. It's somebody I'm telling you, Sunday school, hey, thank God, get it in them when they're little. Get them in a Sunday school. Let them hear it. Let it go to them. Brother, it'll get them, amen. It'll get them. Bring them. You say, well, I'm just afraid they'll cause. Don't worry about that. Amen. Boy, I can remember my kids as little, And listen, I had to go to church with my mama, and my kids was little. And you don't think, and at one time, my mama and Judy's mama was both there at the church with our kids. Amen. You don't think, hey, here comes Mama and here comes Mama and they've got candy and they've got chewing gum and they've got, you know, everything in the entire country. And hey, let me tell you, you think, wow, all that does is just cause a mess. It didn't cause a mess. I mean, sure, they had fun. I know Scott told us one time, he's talking about, he said, you remember when I was little? He said, Mama would reach over and just pinch a plug out of me. Wow, yeah, I remember that. I'd be up there preaching, I'd see what's going on. He'd say, that hurt. She said, it's supposed to hurt. Shut up. Amen. Huh? I mean, I know they're going to be unruly. I know they're going to have, I know all that goes on. I got it. It don't bother me. I told somebody, I said, if you don't think I can out-preach a 3 or 4-year-old, you got trouble. Brother, they want to shout, I can shout louder than them, amen. I mean, whatever's going to, I can get with them. It doesn't bother me. I want them soaking in the Word of God. I'm telling you, that Word will have an impact on the family. And Paul is saying that. He's saying, you remember from a child, all the way from a child, it has an impact on the family. As I said, Paul talks about his grandmother, Lois, and his mother, Eunice. He said, they had faith. He said, and I'm persuaded you got the same thing that they had. It made an impact on their family. Now, I don't know about the men. We don't hear anything about that. Apparently, they were of a different thought or persuasion. But can I tell you, hey, the ones of you can get it, amen? Just get it and let it go on in. But he said, look, here it is. It makes an impact on your family. Not only does it make an impact for Timothy on the family, but it makes an impact on your own personal faith, on your faith. He said, from a child, you've known the Holy Scriptures. What does he say? Which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Now he said, you know, I know it's impacted your grandma and your mama and people in your family. He said, now I'm talking about you. Can I tell you, it will make an impact on you, yourself, personally. I mean, your faith. Surely it'll impact your family, but I want it to impact your faith. Hey, the Word of God will help you. The Bible tells us faith cometh by hearing, and hearing how? By the Word of God. By the Word of God. Hey, that's what you and I gotta hear. If you want your faith stretched, if you want your faith increased, if you want your faith to grow, get in the Word of God and let it get in you. Let it get on the inside of you. So I'm telling you, the Scriptures now, the Word of God, it notice that it hasn't, there's an impact that comes from the Word of God. But not only the impact of it, I want you to notice, second of all, I want you to notice the importance that Paul says there is in the Scriptures. Look what he said. He just, I don't know why I've wondered this. I've read it a lot, and I wondered why this even comes out this way. But look what he says in verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. I want you to see that first. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now, you know, as far as me logically thinking, and maybe I'm not too logical. Maybe you see it better than I do. But this just doesn't look like it flows in the process of the thought to me. It doesn't seem like it just doesn't seem like it belongs. But it does. But it does. Paul's talking about the Word of God. He said, I told you that Word's got an impact from a childhood. It's got an impact on your faith. He said it's got an impact on your family. He said, but now I want you to know something else about the Word of God. I want you to see the importance of the Word of God. First of all, the importance is this, that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. I want you to know, hey, it's an inspired Word. It's inspired. And a lot of folks say, well, what does that mean? Well, the word inspired simply means it's breathed. That word inspire, you know, you take respirations. That's when you breathe in and you breathe out. That's a respiration, right? And the word inspiration has that word spire at the heart of it. And it means breathe. It means the breath. Can I tell you what Paul is saying? This word, the scriptures, the word of God is simply the breath of God coming out to us. And buddy, you ought to be thankful that we have the very breath of God in a written form that can do something for our lives. Amen? He said, all scripture, every bit of scripture is given by the inspiration. Every bit of it. He said, it's given by inspiration of God. I mean, God inspired. And you know, you'll hear some terms that people kind of throw around sometimes, and you wonder what that is. Let me just tell you, we talk about, as far as inspiration, that the Word of God is inerrant. Inerrant is one of those, you know, one of them 50-cent words, I guess, that we throw around in the theological world. What it means is there is nothing in there that's not right. It's all right. People say, oh, I found something in the Bible that's wrong. The only thing you'll find in the Bible that's wrong are the people that done wrong. Amen. Adam and Eve done wrong and they sinned. That's wrong. But let me tell you, the Bible is all right. It is inerrant. It is infallible. And we talk about the infallibility. That means it's incapable of being wrong. It means that it is, as I say, always right, but it's incapable of being wrong. And listen, hey, this is what's being attacked today by the modernist and by the religionist and by the people of our day that are against God but want to say that they're churchy people. Hey, they come up and they say, well, do you really think that that book doesn't have some error? I don't think there's an error in the print of it. There might be some stuff I don't quite understand, but I'm telling you, God's Word is pure, holy, and inerrant. No error. And I'm telling you, hey, when you look at it, you understand it's infallible. What it says is always right. You know, we've tried to change that. Well, preacher, do you really think God was saying this when he said that? Yeah, I do. Well, you know, we've gotten modern, and we think it's okay for two men to get married. Well, you're wrong. This book is still right when God says that is an abomination unto him. Amen. Huh? Well, we think it's okay if two men or two women want to get married at the church. Well, you're wrong. Amen. In the beginning, God created them. Had to create them. Male and female. Amen. I mean, that's the only way he could make them. I mean, that's the way God... And you know what? Hey, go down and check on anything you want to. I mean, I've been to the doctor. I've been to the bank. I've been to the... Anywhere else you got to fill out forms. And every one of them knuckleheads at the doctor's office, they say, what are you? Male or female? And you know what? As far as I can understand, that's all they found they are. They ain't got nothing else for me to be. I got to be one or the other. Down at the bank, they won't know if you're male or female. Now, I've been to some of these other knucklehead places, and they'd say male, female, or other. And I'm thinking, what in the cat hair is a other? And they might be some others out there. But guess what? I ain't one of them. I'm a man. I was born a man. I'm going to die a man. I'll always be a man. Amen? Yeah. Women, you ladies, y'all always going to be girls or female or whatever, however you want to look at it. Y'all going to be the opposite of what I am. And I'm not being crude, but somebody said, well, preacher, how do you know the deal? I said, man, I got enough sense to know. And I go look at a dog or a cat, and I look between their legs, and I can figure it out. Amen. As I said, I'm not trying to be crude. I'm just telling you, that's the way it is. Amen? Y'all found any others in the doggies and the kitty cats and anything else? No! They're either male or female. And they, you know what? They get ready. You go down there and they say, well, we got a female dachshund or, you know, whatever it is. And I ain't never heard of it. We got something over here. We don't know what it is. Huh? They always know what it is. What? I don't know how I got on that, but I'm telling you, it's still right, ain't it? Amen? I'm talking about the Word of God being infallible. It is important because it's inspired. In that inspiration, it's infallible, it's inerrant, and it is incorruptible. Man, people have tried to tear it up, mess it up, and break it down, and they can't do it. It is the inspired Word of God. But not only does Paul here talk about the Word of God being inspired, but you notice what he says beyond that. He said, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Look what he says in that second part. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly or throughly, that word is throughly, but it means the same thing as thoroughly, furnished unto all good works. What he is saying is this, not only is the Word of God inspired, but the Word of God is instructive. The Word of God gives us some instruction. Now, again, there's a lot of people that don't like that. But listen to what Paul says. He said, look, here's what it's good for. He said, it is profitable. That means it will give you a gain in the area of, he says, for doctrine. And I've told you before, there's a lot of people who say, oh, preacher, we don't want no doctrine. Yes, you need doctrine. You need to know about the doctrine of God. You need to know about the doctrine of Jesus. You need to know about the doctrine of hell and heaven and the devil. I mean, there's all kinds of things we could touch on in doctrine. And, you know, and we will maybe as we go along. But I'm just telling you, friend, hey, we need the doctrines of the Bible. Because if it wasn't for the doctrine, you wouldn't know what to believe. You wouldn't know, is God good or is God bad or is God this or that or the other? Yep. You can find out because of the doctrines that this book presents and tells us about God, for one thing. That's just one little bitty thing. But anyway, he said this, the Scripture is profitable for doctrine. He said it's also profitable for reproof. The Word of God will reprove you. What does that mean? That means when you're wrong, it'll tell you you're wrong. It'll slap you in the face. It'll punch you in the heart. It'll say, hey, you shouldn't have said that. You shouldn't have done that. You shouldn't have been there. You shouldn't have, you know, done so and so, or you should have done such and such. I mean, that's what it's good. And the Word of God's good for that, he says. So I'm telling you, it's instructive. It's good for, he says, for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. Ooh, it'll show you what the right thing to do is. It'll correct you. He said, and then it's good for instruction in righteousness. It'll tell you what righteousness really is. That's what the Word of God does. I'm telling you, that's, he says, look, why is that? He said, well, because of this, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I think all of that's pretty important, don't you? The Word of God's important because it's inspired of God, and it's important because it's instructive to me and you as Christians. So he said, this Word of God, he said, Word of God make an impact. There's an impact from the Word. There's the importance of the Word. But don't you know this last little part as you get into chapter number 4 and the first few verses, and I know everybody that's ever been around preachers and preacher meetings and all that, you hear this, you know, it's like, oh, that's for the preachers. Well, okay, it may be for the preachers, but I think you and I can all glean something out of it too. Listen to what Paul says. He's still talking to Timothy after he says, you know, all the Scriptures for this. He said, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead as appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. He's been talking about the Word, that it's got an impact, that it has an importance. And now he's saying, this Word of God needs to be imparted from us as Christians. We need to have it. We need to get it. We need to see that impact that it has on us and gets on the inside. But then we need to be ready to get it out to those that need it. He said, Timothy, it's one thing for me to tell you how this is going to help you. He said, but I'm telling you now. I'm charging you. He didn't just really say, you know, here's a suggestion. He said, I charge thee. I mean, this is a directive toward him. This is what you're going to do, boy. You ever had your old daddy do that to you? He'd say, look at me, boy. I'm talking to you. This is what you need to do. You ever had somebody do that? That's what Paul's doing to Timothy. I charge. He said, I'm telling you, son, preach the Word of God. Don't give them anything else. I don't care what they want. Don't care what they say. Don't care how they act. Give them the Word of God. You know, we're in a day today when people say, well, just tell us some little sweet story. And, you know, tell us about somebody's puppy dog getting taken away, but they find him like that. You know, somebody wants some little story like that. Oh, tell us something. You know, now lay me down to sleep. Now pray the Lord my soul. I want some little silly something. But he said, don't do it. Preach the word of God. I mean, we got to have some preaching. He said, preach the word of God. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Listen to what he's saying. He says, here's the thing about imparting the word of God. The word of God should be imparted, first of all, because it's needed. People need it today. Did you know people need the word of God? He said, man, preach it. He said, do that. He said, for the time will come. They're going to need it. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. People, as I told you, they don't want doctrine. They don't want sound doctrine anyway. They want some fly-by-night junk that's crazy, you know. I mean, oh, well, preacher, I went to a church and they said they're going to break out the Ouija boards. Well, that's wrong. Amen. I mean, that ain't got a thing in the world to do with this Bible. It sure doesn't have anything to do with God. And it ain't got nothing to do with what all that mess can tell you. It's just a bunch of junk. Amen? I mean, we need, the Word of God is needed by people today. Because, he said, there's a day coming when they don't want sound in doctrine. He said, they're going to heap to themselves, teachers having itching ears. He said, and turning their ears away from the truth. Hey, we need to hear the truth. We need to hear what the Word of God has. We need to hear it. And then, let me tell you this, most of all, we need to heed it. We need to hear it. People need to hear the Word of God, but then they need to heed it. He says, look, in that verse number 2, he said, preach that word. Be instant with it. And, you know, sometimes that means there's an opportunity to spread out the word. Be instant. He says, in season or out of season. There may be times when that's what's expected in season, but out of season, it's not expected. But go ahead and preach it anyway. Amen. I mean, when you're there with the family and they say, won't you tell us some little Christmas story? All right, let me tell you about Jesus and his birth. Let me tell you about a little girl named Mary that was found with child and she'd never been with a man and she brought forth God's firstborn son. Let me tell you, well, we don't want to hear. We want to hear Santa Claus. You're getting Jesus, amen. Forget about Santa Claus, amen. I mean, be instant, in season, out of season. He said, well, they need it. They need to hear it, and then they need to heed it. I mean, people need to heed the word of God. He said they've gotten to a place where they have heaped to themselves. They have piled up teachers because they got itching ears. They're, oh, tickle my ear with some little fancy something. No. You need to hear the word of God. And then after people hear it, they need to heed it. They need to understand about the doctrine. Some of them need to be reproved. Some of them need to be rebuked. Some of them need to be exhorted with all longsuffering and doctrine. I mean, I'm just telling you, people today have some diverse needs, but they sure do need the word of God. The word of God. And he encourages this young preacher. And I tell you, just in closing, the way he kind of closes this thing out, he tells him in verse number 5, watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, and make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Paul is doing all of this, laying this groundwork for Timothy, because he's saying this, I'm about to leave off the scene, Timothy. It's time for me to go. And y'all heard Brother Beard this morning talking about that, about, you know, he's 75 years old, and he said, you know, it's just kind of a given that there's so much time allotted, and you don't ever know. But he's got to have that work ready, for have somebody else ready for the work when he goes off the scene. And that's what Paul is saying to Timothy. I'm about to leave, Timothy, but I want to leave you prepared. If you go back and read a lot of the Gospels, or in all of the Gospels, Jesus is trying to get his disciples. He's trying to get those 12 men, trying to get them prepared for the day of his leaving. I'm going to be leaving, he said. And they're not getting it. They don't understand it. They're like, where are you going? I mean, we don't know what you're talking about. And Jesus is trying to prepare them for that. I'm just telling you, God has given us his word. And you know the good thing about it? It never changes. It never goes out of style. It doesn't need to be updated. We can take it. There were some older preachers that handed it down to me. They put it into my trust. And they said, in 1975, when I was 20 years old, they said, here it is, Steve. Preach it. And preach it like you got it. Preach it the way we preach it. Preach it on. Preach it on. And buddy, I'm telling you, I can remember. I remember being in a revival out on Sand Mountain, and I preached. And Daddy and Mama had come with us, and we went, some folks from our church went there. And after I got through, at the time, I really didn't appreciate it like I should have. But there was a little old lady come up after this service, and she said, son, that was some pretty good preaching you did. But she looked at me square in the eye. She said, but you'll never be the preacher your daddy is. And I just simply looked at her, and like I said, I didn't know what to make of it at the time. I said, thank you. Thank you. I mean, that's all what else are you going to say? And I understood later on, hey, you know what? That makes me want to be the kind of preacher my daddy was. It makes me want to be that kind of man that he was. And I guarantee you, every one of you in here tonight, you could look back on maybe your childhood or your younger, and you could see somebody there, and they say, well, you may be a fine Christian, but look at this example there. And Paul was the example for Timothy, and he's trying to leave him something behind. Hey, what are you and I leaving behind? Leaving behind some legacy, leaving behind some foundation, leaving behind, I just want to leave behind, you know, people say, well, what do you want to say when they come around and look? I don't care about them saying, oh, he was a good pastor or any of that kind of stuff. I just want somebody to say he stayed with the word of God. Amen? Because that's what I want to do. I want to stay with the word of God. Brother Ronnie, come on. Let's sing some song this evening. How about you?